Those people knew why they came to the city. They knew why they wanted to beat on somebody. They knew what they were doing.
What do you want? Justice! Now!
Most Ghanaians, and the majority of Ghanaians, find it distasteful, inappropriate,
yes,
sickening.
Yes. We need to protect those who are different. That is the essence of human rights law.
In Hong Kong and even in Chinese society, we are about 5 to 10 years behind of the whole gay movement in the West.
Gay station. Oh, wow.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The Vatican vets a policy prohibiting gay priests, outrage follows the LADA's hate crimes pass, and radio goes gay in Ghana and Hong Kong. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending October 12, 2002. The Vatican is developing a blanket policy to exclude gay men from the priesthood, the official Catholic news service revealed this week. A draft directive prepared jointly by the Vatican's Congregations for Catholic Education and for the Doctrine of the Faith is being circulated among a wide range of consultants. On the grounds that the Catechism declares a homosexual orientation to be objectively disordered, the draft would bar gay and bisexual men from seminaries and from ordination, even if they were ready to accept the vow of celibacy. While there is no target date for completion and publication of the directive, the Catholic News Service said that the long-debated issue has, in its words, received new and more urgent attention in the wake of U.S. clerical sex abuse cases, many of which involved homosexual acts.
The Vatican published this week the official statement of last month's meeting of Latin America's Roman Catholic leaders, which includes strong opposition to legal recognition of same-gender couples, unanimously adopted by the presidents of the region's episcopal conferences and signed by two top cardinals and the head of CELAM, the Latin American Bishops' Council. The document known as the Santo Domingo Declaration urges all lawmakers not to give their vote to what it calls iniquitous laws. It says, "We are profoundly afflicted by the presumption to give legal recognition, with juridical standing that the people's traditions gave only to marriage, an eminently public good, to the so-called de facto unions in their various versions and stages. Our disquiet is even greater when such presumption refers to persons of the same sex. It is inadmissible to want to have homosexual and lesbian unions accepted as legitimate unions, and even as marriage, with the alleged right to adopt children. To recognize this other type of union and equate it with the family is to discriminate and wage assault against it."
Catholic bishops in Malta this week publicly voiced their strong opposition to legal recognition of gay and lesbian couples there. They were responding to the electoral campaign platform of the Alternativa Democratica party, which calls for extending all marital benefits to both same-gender and unmarried heterosexual couples who've lived together for at least 3 years. This would include all parental rights for children born to those couples, as well as social benefits, including housing. Malta's Archbishop Joseph Marsica and others denounced the party's proposals as a threat to marriage and to society.
The Catholic Church has lobbied actively and effectively against legal domestic partnerships for gays and lesbians in the Czech Republic, but it's politics that now appears to have stalled the possibility for the next 4 years. When a partnership bill proposed by the Social Democratic Party, CSSD, was returned to the government by a vote of the Chamber of Deputies a year ago, it effectively killed the issue until after June's parliamentary elections. The CSSD was the leader in those elections, but it was able to form a government with a slim one-vote parliamentary majority only in coalition with the strongly anti-partnership Christian Democrats, the KDU-CSL. Gay and lesbian activists believe their interests were abandoned by the CSSD as a bargaining chip in the coalition process, and that partnerships won't advance until the next round of national elections. The groups Gay Initiative and STUD Brno responded with about 150 billboards, which for several weeks showed two men kissing and the caption, "It may help someone and hurts no one."
Posters denouncing homosexuals appeared on lampposts in Hamilton City, Bermuda last week, only to be torn down by city workers the next day. Hamilton prohibits putting any materials on lampposts regardless of content. The city secretary, Roger Sherratt, told the Royal Gazette newspaper that the posters were full of hatred. They talked about homosexual people being satanic and demons. They were very homophobic and I would say had been done by someone who was not well. The posters, handwritten with spelling errors on flimsy paper, appeared to be the work of a lone individual, but they announced that a march against homosexuals would be held this month.
Hopes for constitutional civil rights protections for gays and lesbians in Peru dimmed this week as the National Parliament passed an article on equality before the law that names no specific protected categories. Article 2.2 says only every form of discrimination having as its object or result the annulment or undermining of recognition, enjoyment, or exercise of personal rights is forbidden. State and society will promote positive conditions and measures so that in reality and effectively, nobody will be discriminated against. Although the parliament is still discussing the proposed new Peruvian constitution, the national group Movimiento Homosexual de Lima is already working with women's, black, and disability rights groups towards campaigning against its ratification by the public.
But in the U.S., the City Council of Decatur, Illinois, this week voted 6-1 to make sexual orientation a category protected from discrimination under its local civil rights ordinance. Nearly 5 dozen citizens testified on the issue. Decatur will be the 11th city in Illinois to prohibit anti-gay discrimination.
The U.S. Supreme Court this week declined to consider the marital status of transsexuals, refusing to take up an appeal by Jenoel Gardner. This let stand the Kansas State Supreme Court's unanimous finding in March that Jenoel could not inherit half of her late husband's estate because, under state law, she is a male and her marriage is invalid. That's despite Jenoel having obtained a revised birth certificate from her native Wisconsin after her sex reassignment surgery, as well as holding a Kansas marriage certificate. Since the late Marshall Gardner did not leave a will, his son Joe becomes the sole heir to the $2.5 million estate. The U.S. Supreme Court also declined to take up the appeal of a small gay radio station in Cleveland, Ohio, which was shut down by the Federal Communications Commission because owner Jerry Joka had not obtained a license for it.
A Montana Republican has withdrawn from a U.S. Senate race, citing a Democratic Party campaign ad that used 20-year-old video footage to visually imply he might be gay. The voiceover said candidate Mike Taylor had abused student loan programs with a Colorado hair design school he'd been involved with. In fact, Taylor had reached a settlement with both state and federal programs in that case without admission of wrongdoing. But the video showed a clip from former salon chain owner Taylor's erstwhile regular appearances on Denver television, one in which Taylor, in 1980s disco regalia, was applying lotion to a man's face. Although the National Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee denied it, numerous observers, including gay-supportive Democratic Montana State Senator Ken Toole, agreed the ad's imagery appealed to stereotyping and voter homophobia. The National Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Campaign was among groups denouncing it. However, there is also widespread agreement that Taylor's campaign was in trouble even before the ad debuted last week, with funds running well behind expenses and polling running well behind four-term incumbent Democratic Senator Max Baucus. Taylor campaign polling did find that nearly 60% of those who had viewed the ad were less likely to vote for him afterwards.
Convicted serial killer Eileen Wuornos was executed this week in Florida at the age of 46 after a decade on death row. She died apparently at peace after voluntarily ending the appeals process, but wasn't put to death until after 3 psychiatrists agreed that she was mentally competent. A sex worker since age 15, Wuornos found her clients along Florida's highways. She said she'd killed 7 of them, but was convicted of only 6 murders since one body was never found. She robbed those men to better provide for the lesbian lover who later betrayed her to police. Already the subject of several books, an opera, and 2 films, it was announced this week that Charlize Theron will star in another Wuornos film, now in development.
Openly gay Paris Mayor Bertrand Delanoway, stabbed in an assassination attempt at a public party at City Hall this week, has been moved out of intensive care. He's expected to be hospitalized for another week and to need several more weeks' recovery before returning to work. The abdominal wound he suffered could have been fatal had he received surgery less promptly. Suspect Azzedine Burkane reportedly told police he objects to politicians in general and to gays based on his Muslim faith, although his attorney blames the attack on Burkane's mental problems and denies that it was either political or homophobic.
And finally, while there were many solemn memorials this week of the 1998 death of the world's best-known gay bashing victim, University of Wyoming student Matthew Shepard, there were also numerous observances of October 11th as National Coming Out Day on campuses across the U.S. and elsewhere. Some were scholarly discussions, some were religious services, and some were raucous celebrations. But Harvard University's activists, now known as the Bisexual, Gay, Lesbian, Transgender, and Supporters Alliance, continued their tradition of creating notable posters for the occasion. One of this year's featured the familiar caption, "Nobody Knows I Am a Lesbian," under a reproduction of the Mona Lisa. Now we can understand that famously enigmatic smile.
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 12, 2002. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
In such far-flung locales as Ghana and Hong Kong, radio is being used to stimulate the discussion about homosexuality. You'll hear what some of those shows sound like later in the program. The city of West Hollywood, California, whose population is estimated to be as much as a third gay, lesbian, bi, and trans, was on high alert for almost a month after a series of brutal gay bashings. Actor Trev Brody, best known for his appearance in the movie The Fluffer, was the most seriously injured and may have permanent brain damage. Three suspects in the Brody case have been arrested, but the community's relief turned to anger when it was announced that hate crime charges would not be filed. On October 11th, grassroots activists and elected officials voiced their dismay on the streets of West Hollywood, and This Way Out's Lucia Chappell was there.
Nearly 300 people gathered in West Hollywood to commemorate the fourth anniversary of the death of Matthew Shepard, whose brutal gay-bashing murder in Wyoming galvanized public awareness around the issue of homophobic violence. In September, the city was jolted by a series of attacks on four gay men. In a public statement, Los Angeles District Attorney Steve Cooley explains the charges filed against the assailants were limited to robbery, assault, and conspiracy to commit robbery, in part because no anti-gay epithets were used. However, Cooley's critics claim that the victims were not robbed, an issue that apparently won't be clarified until the case reaches court, according to West Hollywood Sheriff's Station Captain Linda Castro.
The evidence that will be presented in court will not indicate that a robbery occurred, but what the charge that was filed was conspiracy to commit robbery.
Cooley's press secretary Jane Robison notes prosecutors must be able to show the victim was targeted solely because he or she was gay in order to file hate crime charges. Cooley's controversial decision not to file hate crime charges had already sparked several demonstrations and protests from Los Angeles County Sheriff Lee Baca, both the Los Angeles and West Hollywood City Councils, and many local and state officials. Among them, State Senator Richard Alarcon told the crowd at the Shepherd Memorial Rally he plans to amend the state's hate crime law.
So that no DA in the state of California will have any doubt that the incidents that happened in the past several weeks were caused by actions of hate. But there should be no question, because I think the general perception is correct. Those people knew who they were going to attack. They knew why they came to the city. They knew why they wanted to beat on somebody. They knew what they were doing. And they knew that they were acting out of hate.
Former Speaker of the California Assembly, Antonio Villaraigosa.
I can tell you that when we drafted that bill, there was nothing in the legislation that required that someone make an epithet when perpetrating a crime. Yeah. Nothing. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but I can tell you this law is sound. It has no loopholes. and the district attorney of L.A. County needs to enforce the law.
California Assembly member Paul Koretz will carry State Senator Alarcon's amendment to the Assembly, but said other avenues should be pursued.
We have to continue to put the pressure on District Attorney Steve Cooley, who I would ask at this point to recuse himself from this case because I don't believe that he can be objective about it any longer. And I've also formally now requested in writing to Attorney General Bill Lockyer that he review this case and see if there's any actions that he can take to override what Mr. Cooley has done.
The West Hollywood City Council is also seeking redress from the state attorney general and has already held two meetings with his representatives. However, according to Hernan Molina of Councilmember John Duran's office, the attorney general has intervened in such cases only twice in about a century and a half. Meanwhile, West Hollywood Mayor Sal Gariello said he intends to target District Attorney Cooley himself.
I have served the recall papers on the district attorney Wednesday morning. And the only way to get this thing satisfied is get rid of a gentleman that doesn't know what the hate law is all about.
Los Angeles Mayor Jim Hahn joined in denouncing District Attorney Cooley's decision in strong terms. He also vowed to lobby for legislation that would make it possible for the federal government to intercede in anti-gay and lesbian hate crimes cases, as they have in other kinds of civil rights cases when local authorities have failed to act. Assemblymember Rod Wright also came to lend his support.
Now, some folk would say, why are you here? You come from South Los Angeles. But a very famous man from my community made a comment that is most appropriate here, that injustice anywhere is a threat to freedom everywhere. So I came by here today to tell you that in South Central Los Angeles, in all of the areas that I represent, we're just as outraged as you are. We share the same concerns. Because you know what? If that was comfortable to do to Mr. Brody here, then you could go to the Catch One on Pico and pick off somebody, you know? Because I learned something else when I got old. Sexual orientation also is multicultural as well.
During California State Senator Alarcon's speech, one demonstrator attempted to interrupt him to address hate crimes and the push for war in Iraq. Although Senator Alarcon declined to engage the heckler, Los Angeles City Councilperson Janice Hahn broached the subject.
Someday, we should be talking about war. Because he was right. You know, hate comes at all levels in our society. And I want to do everything I can to make sure that I'm teaching people to love.
What do you want?
Justice!
With one word,
now!
Their rage at District Attorney Cooley's ruling notwithstanding, many of the participants at the Shepherd Memorial protest action were also focused on the age-old problem of teaching people to love.
I think that if more people actually took the time to realize that this is intolerable, it affects families, it affects friends, it affects people whom we don't even know about. I think if people took the time more to see that, one day there won't be a need to march in the streets. One day there won't be a need to light a candle. One day there won't be a need to say in memory of, celebrating the homegoing of, or crying because this person died because somebody was stupid enough or ignorant enough to take their life. And my being out here, I hope, helps in that process.
The three suspects in the Brody case will have a preliminary hearing on November 4th. Their connection to the other attacks is still under investigation. On the political front, District Attorney Cooley has called the harsh criticism from Mayor Hahn irresponsible and said that it panders to a vigilante mentality inconsistent with due process. In West Hollywood for This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappelle.
This is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. For those of us who are already out, stay tuned for the next program.
A World in Your Ear is a weekly half-hour program on BBC Radio 4 that samples English language programming around the globe. Presenter Emily Buchanan hosted one recent program devoted to gay and lesbian subject matter. Here are a couple of compelling excerpts.
Hello and welcome to the program that leapfrogs global boundaries and celebrates diversity in all its rainbow colors. This week we search out those who turn the airwaves pink with lesbian and gay radio. Across the world, homosexuality remains deeply controversial, illegal in many countries, punishable by death in others, and against the teachings of most major religions. Despite this, we found that not all gay radio is simply strident and campaigning. Much of it's humorous, inspirational, and a lifeline to listeners confused by their sexuality. In parts of Africa, particularly in Ghana, being gay isn't just a matter of teenage angst. There's a huge social stigma. And when Joy FM in Accra held a live discussion and phone-in on the subject, they were inundated by calls. In the studio was Dr. Kenneth Tafer, a sociologist who had done a study on what he called the phenomenon of homosexuality. He described being gay as a product of single-sex boarding schools. But for one angry caller, this explanation was too academic and not critical enough of gay lifestyles. Dr. Tafer gave a passionate response.
I'm talking about a study I did which points unequivocally to the presence of homosexuality in this country. I am trying to say that in one sense, this is the result of the context, the environment in which some people find themselves at a certain stage of their development or growth. Now, if that is academic, maybe the language is academic, but the fact is that we have a boarding school system in this country. There are regimented environments. I have explained what that means. And certain conduct occur there that, you know, are problematic. Inasmuch as this conduct is culturally inappropriate, inasmuch as this conduct is something to be repudiated in our cultural context, the reality is that around the world, the studies that have been conducted indicate that for some strange reason, some strange inexplicable reason, a certain proportion of the population, between 10 and 12%, is homosexual or has homosexual inclinations. I am a full-blooded heterosexual, married of children. I have never had any homosexual inclinations. I do not believe that homosexuality is something to promote. But I am also saying that people who are homosexual need to be protected. In much the same way that you, I imagine that you, the caller, you are a black person. There was a time when the fact of your blackness alone would have been enough to get you killed, to get you denied a job, to get you lynched or whatever. We have people we call albinos, people who were born with some kind of mental or physical disability. And even in this culture, in this country, some people go to certain localities. Some people who are born with disabilities are killed simply because of their disability. I am making an analogy, a comparison, and saying that we need to protect those who are different. That is the essence of human rights law. It does not mean that you support it. It does not mean that you promote it. But it means that you protect people who are different from yourself. And that's not too academic, I think.
Dr. Tafer trod a dangerous line between supporting gays while not wanting to be accused of being one. The usually laid-back presenter on Joy FM's Super Morning Show was quick to come in with this rather cautionary reminder.
Ken, when you consider those circumstances and you look at our situation where it's culturally abhorred and considered inappropriate by all religious standards that we have in Ghana, on our criminal code, it was also, an offense. And I think most Ghanaians, the majority of Ghanaians, find it distasteful, inappropriate,
yes.
Sickening,
yes.
To be putting it mildly. Shouldn't we be taking steps to do what is appropriate for us, for Ghanaians?
Yes. We should. It always should be what is appropriate for us as Ghanaians.
Joy FM in Accra, daring at least to broach the subject. And right now, I'm steering us in the direction of the Far East, to Hong Kong, no less.
Queer and here. Queer and here.
Gay Station.
Oh, wow.
Gay Station. Queer and here.
网上大机构, 夜夜11, 大播, 德德德德德德播. Gay Station.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, indeed. Since January 2000, gaystation.com has been Hong Kong's first and only gay website and webcast. Although homosexuality isn't illegal, it still remains a deeply sensitive subject. Brian Leung is the founder of gaystation.com, and I asked him what it was like to be gay in modern-day Hong Kong.
Hong Kong has been a modernized and westernized kind of city. So compared to mainland China and some other Chinese-speaking communities, actually it's relatively more liberal. But it's still something that you don't speak very openly. So having a gay radio and having a gay channel is really a place and a new platform for people to speak about their lives, to talk about it, and to educate people who knows nothing about homosexuality.
And what sort of stories are you hearing about when people contact your web?
We will interview different people about their coming out stories, and people are very fascinated by these kind of stories because they can, you know, listen to them and try to sympathize with how they come out to their families, come out to their job, and come out to themselves. I mean, to most people who have been in the closet for quite a while, it's like, finally, they have their own community, they have their own voice, they are not alone in the world. It's very uplifting for a lot of people.
Is there something that your station deals with a lot because it's dealing with the Chinese community?
You know, in the West, people are already talking about adoption, same-sex marriage. But you know, in Hong Kong and even in Chinese society, we are about 5 to 10 years behind of the whole gay movement in the West. Take Hong Kong as an example. Right now, you know, homosexuality is not even a legalized act. It's only decriminalized about 12 to 13 years ago. So there hasn't been any progress in terms of our legal rights, this and that, because people just don't talk about it. I mean, even the government in Hong Kong, they just uphold a don't ask, don't tell kind of, you know, policy towards gay people. It's like, we can tolerate you gay people, but don't talk about it that much and don't promote homosexuality.
Traditionally, in the Chinese community, whether in China, Hong Kong or elsewhere, how has homosexuality been viewed inside the family?
It's a taboo. Even parents are aware of that, you know, their sons are gay or this and that. They just don't talk about it. They don't have the vocabulary, the education, the background and even the mentality to discuss it openly. But I'm really sure that a lot of parents know that, you know, their sons or daughters may be gay and lesbians, but it's not really that open topic to be discussed, which is a sad thing.
Brian Leung from Hong Kong's groundbreaking gaystation.com. Lesbian and gay radio is certainly a thriving niche market, doing what radio does best, bringing a community together and campaigning to fight the stereotypes.
That was presenter Emily Buchanan and excerpts from BBC Radio 4's queer edition of A World in Your Ear. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Graham Underhill, Jason Lynn, Chris Ambage, and Rex Walkner contributed program material, with very special thanks also to presenter Emily Buchanan and producer Tanya Dotta of BBC Radio 4's A World in Your Ear. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from the Arcus Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world. To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WYEP Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, CJLY Nelson, British Columbia, KUNR Reno, Nevada, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Everybody's going to stay tuned.